Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Ike Live. I hope you're having a wonderful Friday night. The world is crazy. There's a ton of bad shit going on out there. Come sit down with us for a little bit. We're going to provide you some entertainment and enjoyment to take your mind off this crazy world right now. We've got the one and only Big Bass Dreams, man of big bass, caught the only big bass over the last 4 days, Oliver Nye in the studio with us. Oliver, thanks for joining us.
Man. Thank you again and again for having me,
dude,
guys.
That first segment was so deep, I didn't want it to end. I see. Normally, I know, like, I have, like, this rhythmic thing where I know when to take the breaks. That's the first time in, like, 4 years where I had to look at Brian. He was like, we need a break. He's, like, giving me the snip.
Cut.
He's giving me the snip sign over there. I was getting deep with that.
That meant you've got four kids.
Oh, I know. I know. Well,
and Becky's drinking wine.
I know. It's a bad combination. Dude, I'll tell you, the whole thing about getting your balls snipped off, fixed, is we've got a buddy, Tom Hernishin, who got, he had a bunch of kids, and finally him and his significant other were like, yeah, let's shut off the waterworks. So he goes in. And he comes back, this is like 2 or 3 weeks later. And he's like, guys, I got to show you something. And we're all like, what the fuck? Like, this is weird, And, dude, he unzips and he pulls. Dude, his balls are as big as a brown paper bag from Acme, dude. So that is stuck with me. Like, it's haunting me to this day. It's like a shopping bag, like a brown paper bag. His balls inflated and like never went down, So I'm permanently freaked out. I'm like scarred by this. I don't want paper bag balls.
Like somebody had a mouthful of chewing gum and blew this really big bubble.
Right.
And then dropped it on the hair at the barbershop. On the floor at the barbershop.
I'm just telling you.
That's a visual I got right there.
I'm telling you, I'm scarred. I don't mind the surgery, but I don't want the giant balls, what I'm saying.
Yes, we are drinking tin cup now. Segment 2.
Yep. Segment 2. Yeah, we switched to little tin cup. We're drinking the rye tonight.
No, so it's not the rye.
Oh, okay.
Becky never found it. I think we drank it all.
I know, but it's supposed to be the rye.
It's a blue label.
All right, whatever.
Sorry.
That's okay. I want to remind everybody, if you got a question or comment, please hit us up on our IM. We've got Rich taking questions through. I want to switch gears. I want to talk about why you're here this week, because this is something sort of that's been in the making for a long time. Like, I got to say over a year.
For sure.
That we've been talking a little bit on through social media and stuff. And finally, like, everything kind of worked out and you got
lined
to
up. The fishing.
Yeah, you got to come to the
beautiful
East Coast a little bit. What tell me about this trip here this week.
Man, honestly, the opportunity to hang out with you and actually get to know you was really high on my list.
Yeah.
Like, you're an influential.
Me too. It's mutual.
That's crazy to hear. That's crazy to hear because, like, remember that first day I was here and I was walking down the stairs and I just – took that Insta story of those plaques, man, and, to remind my audience to put some respect on this man's name. Like, it's crazy, man, because, I didn't know you on a personal level, really. You're only able to consume what somebody else puts out there for you.
Yeah.
Which is why I feel like this day and age is beautiful, because look what you've been able to do with your own platform. Right. You can set stories straight. You can show people who you are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of power in that. And that wasn't always available through this industry and this game.
Right.
And I just kind of felt like, man, maybe they're doing this dude like kind of dirty sometimes. And I wanted to just see it for myself, man.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you guys, this dude is the real deal. Like, we have been getting our ass kicked for 4 days. Right. I mean, you're talking about a Mike Iaconelli in a Big Bass Dreams collaboration. Man, we caught gizzard shad. There were condoms hanging up in the tree on the Delaware River.
Let me tell you, when you go to the best fishery in the Northeast, a.k.a. the Susquehanna Flats, a.k.a. the Flats, and you are proud to snag a 2-pound gizzard shad.
Like, dude, hyped.
Dude, when you're hyped to snag a gizzard shad.
And the highlight of the day is for the first time in my life seeing a group of 15 to 20 ducks eating seagull crap off the dock.
Eating off the dock.
All the seagulls off. Yeah. And just like, wow, is this really happening right now?
Yeah. It was
tough, man.
It was tough. But here's the thing, though. And you know, like, I take it personally, right? We all do, right? Because you come here, and I wanna show you, like, these fisheries.
For sure.
The Delaware is my home
fishery. Trust
me,
I get it.
Like, me and Pete are more connected to the Delaware than anything.
This is home, man.
Yeah, this is home. The flats.
You got to rep.
Like, Riz has been smashing them on the flats. 20 pounds is nothing every time he goes. Like, I want to show you that.
Yeah, for sure.
And it didn't happen, so I'm disappointed. But I'm also kind of like, you know what? This is part of this is fishing, right?
This is
like,
it, man.
This is the reality of it.
And we actually documented it all.
Yeah.
And we're going to show you guys through our platforms.
Yeah.
Where in the past, like, you didn't really have access to that. All you saw were the highlights.
Yeah.
Right.
And what you don't ever get to see is, like, the raw passion of this dude that has done so much in this space. Like, bro, you got an issue, homie. Like, he didn't feed us. It was cold. I was like, yo, I'm like dropping hints every day. Like, man, those crab cakes in Maryland, huh? Like, man, that sounds amazing now.
Dude, you know it's
Philly cheese steak?
Yeah,
hot. Every
day there's a different menu item.
Yo.
Clint, chime in on this. There's a different. Dude, I've been watching Clint too. Big Clint in the back. I'll be watching him. And you know, like, I don't know, we're like 6-7 hours in every time without a bite yet or a couple bites.
Yeah, it's
and
bad.
I'm looking back there at Clint, and you know, you could see it, and then we'll name some. It was the first day it was cheese sticks.
Yep.
The next day it was crab cakes. And dude, it just totally it totally like Brian, you know what happens when it's banned and you start throwing food in that mix.
Oh yeah.
And there's no food on the boat cuz I don't provide it.
I know you don't.
So
And now we do too. And now we do too, but
we've been sneaking some McDonald's stops in the morning.
For real. Yeah, that's bad.
You got
man.
Smart.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
Yeah,
you got smart.
We just couldn't leave it up to chance no more, man.
But dude, here's the crazy thing.
You got to bait your own hook with Mike.
Yeah, you got to bait your own. But here's the crazy thing, and I think we can all relate to this because I've seen it with Pete. I've fished with Riz. I've fished with Brian the Carpenter. Dude, as tough as it's been, as shitty as the fishing's been, like my fingertips are still numb, dude, from today. I'm not kidding. As bad as all that shit is, like, I can't wait to go out again.
For
like,
sure.
I cannot wait. Like, I can't wait. Before you go, you got to get on my pond. So I can't wait to, like, get you out there to sample that. It's like,
for sure.
Dude, that's the coolest part of
the sport.
So
that goes back to my point, right? And this is a deep point. And, like, how do you get to know somebody over, like, little glimpses through whatever, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's through the Bassmaster Elites or whatever. You can't. You can't get somebody's full story, man. And you can't get the full story of your obsession with, like, not letting these fish kick our ass like we've been doing. Yo, and today, man, on day 4... we finally got into a little bit of a bite, right?
Yes.
Mike sticks 2 in a row. I'm like, dude, you're telling me there's a chance right now. And I actually catch a little, like, I don't know, what'd you say, a pound three ounces or something.
Pound 4.
And I'm telling you, I got more excited about that fish than an 11 pounder I've bounced onto the deck in disgust because it wasn't a 15. I'm telling you, I was hype, and Clint's got the camera rolling, right? And I'm fired back out there, like, big old cheesy smile.
Yeah.
And I'm telling, like, hey, Mike, like, I got bit dragging this Cool Baits and Hazardong shad, dragging it. Not swimming it.
Yeah, crazy.
Dragging it through the mud.
Interesting technique.
And then, think, loads up, and I could feel that big head shake, and then, like, oh, this is not a small one, right? So, celebrations. We get this beautiful fish in the boat.
Dude,
like, so hard-earned. And
it was all worth it.
Yeah.
It was so worth
totally.
It. Totally. When that fish came in, I looked. You guys were just a little bit to my right, and when I looked over there, when I saw that fish come in the net, dude, I swear it was like I won the tournament.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm like over there yelling. Joe's looking at me like
I have
I'm
been
crazy.
Sucking ass all week, man. Like, this dude's putting me on all his holes. I literally haven't caught a bass in 2021 yet. That's some real talk, man.
Oh,
so,
God.
So we finally get the shots and we start. And, dude, it's getting cold. Like, this cold front setting cold. In, and it's the coldest it's been all week, and it's already been cold, right? I can literally, like, not feel my feet anymore and my hands. And, like, dude, I know we got the shot to, like, close out this super sick little, you know, mission. And we start talking, like, Clint and Joe in the camera boat and me, like, all right, man, this is going to be a mission. Like, we got to get Mike off of this, like, in the house. Like, we were already strategizing. I'm like, all right, look, I'm going to drop the food bomb. All right, and then we're going to start like, working towards the house and be like, oh, man, yeah, the bite just shut off, right? So we do all that, and I'm just like, do you remember this? And I'm like, all right, man, so, hey, is that bank over there by your house? That's a steep bank, right? He's like, yeah, there's some stuff on it. I mean, all right, cool. So I'm going to finish up right there. And I start working there, and, dude, Mike starts going the other way.
Yes.
And I'm like, yo. I'm like, I'm out. Like, Joe's like, hey, I can make us some hot coffee instead. I'm like, I'm in. Dude, we go up into the house, get warmed up, and this dude literally disappears from view for like an hour and a half.
Him? Mike?
Yes.
Still on the lake.
MIA, bro. I'm over it at this point.
Hell yeah. I guess
all
so.
Of it. Dude, Clint was freezing, bro. Yeah. Like, he was cold.
I was cold, man.
Like, it was bad.
We were
and this
pop up
dude,
the drone.
And I was like, that's what you guys don't get to see. This fool for real loves it. Like, and I didn't know, when, like, watching him all these years and, like, you know, he's jacking a pound and a half fish and calling it a giant. I can see why. Fishing here sucks. So you guys got to understand the context, man. Context is everything.
Context is everything.
Shout out to New Jersey Department of Fish and Game. Yep. Shout out to DNR
man,
New Jersey.
Finally, someone's worse than California.
It was tough. So I want to hear from the panel, though, on this, our in-house panel, real quick. So let's start on the Delaware. Pete, I'll take you for this one. Dude, we struggled. We were in the winter in holes. We couldn't get the fish to bite. The water was 38 to 39, which is unseasonably cold. The water was a little stained.
Literally the coldest water I'd ever tried to catch a bass out of.
What did we do wrong, Pete? What should have we did that day?
I don't know what you did do. You know, obviously you did all the right things. You know all the wintery deals. You know, I really think it's just a matter of getting into the right hole this time of year.
Right.
You know, and maybe you didn't pick the right one.
Right.
We talked about this. This is amazing, Oliver. In this 38 degree water, we thought that these fish would just get in a wintering area and stay there and never leave, you know, till the water warms. But wherever that bait goes,
right,
the bass will leave. They'll travel 20 miles in 30 degree water. Yep. Following that bait around, and I think that's probably all you experienced on the river was
and we didn't. There were a few holes we didn't go to for some reasons.
And there was the north end.
And there was the north end. We didn't go way up north, so
right.
It might have been that. All right, Riz. Yeah, go ahead, Pete.
I was just gonna say it was great that Oliver's comment was awesome. It's like, you know, you see Mike in clips, but if you really want to get to know him, fish with them without catching fish for 4 days. And really, that's how you really can get to know someone's personality.
Yep. Yeah.
That's real tough. That's
seven awesome. Bites in 4 days. Tough. Rizzo, we fished the Susquehanna Flats. There are 1,000 bass that are in the back 3 miles, 2 miles of the northeast. We hit it all and caught one bass. In fact, we found a stretch that had so many gizzard shad. Dude, you were hitting 50 on every cast with your bait. What did we do wrong there? Water was dirty. Water was 40 to 41 there. It was actually warmer. What did we miss there, Riz?
You know, the first question I would ask is, what was the water clarity like? Was it clean or was it dirty?
That was dirty. It was dirty, but it wasn't
like 4 to 6 inch viz.
Yeah, it wasn't particle dirty. You know, like right. where it's like, I would say six, seven inches, four to six inches.
Well, you know, that's always going to be a tough situation when you got dirty, cold water. That's hard fishing. And I can't say for sure what I don't think you guys did anything wrong. I mean, Mike, you know where to be on the Chesapeake for this time of year. So here's what I would have done. I would have stayed right on those gizzard shad and I would have had Shad Fest 2021. You had the most shad.
I tried.
Minutes.
I couldn't even catch a shed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We did. And we did. We actually repeatedly went back to him to get into a couple, you know? Like, yeah. It was that bad.
I'm surprised you didn't snag more.
We didn't snag more.
That's
no,
what I'm surprised.
The bass.
Yeah.
No.
Because usually...
No. And
they're that thick.
They're that many there. And here's the
well,
other...
Well, they're that predictable. They're that on that...
They're
the
next
structure
to, right,
you're touching. Pitching. And when exactly. The water's in the 30s...
Yep.
You know, when they have tournaments down there and the water's in the 30s, half the fish that are caught are foul hooked.
Yeah, maybe not half, but blade. A lot are. But here's the thing, too. They were there, like 100% for sure. Look, with that new technology, dude, and I got to fish in Oliver's boat today and see his brand's technology. I got in mine with the Lowrance. Dude, when I scanned those pilings and you'd hold it on a piling, you'd watch the bottom right next to the piling. And you would see it like worm. There is no doubt in my mind, dude, that's a bass, right?
Wow.
When you looked up and we saw a lot of fish suspended and swimming. Dude, they could be gizzards. They could be crappie, right? But when there's a fish worming on the bottom, that was, dude, they were bass.
Yeah.
We were around them. But we couldn't even snag them. It's crazy.
That's weird.
It's crazy, bro. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't explain it. But, dude, all in all, I wouldn't change anything.
I wouldn't either.
I'm so glad we had
maybe a couple more bites.
Maybe a couple more bites, but
change a couple little things.
Little food in the boat, maybe.
A little food in the boat. But it was a great experience, dude.
Same. I'm still having a blast.
Seriously, I can't thank you enough. Like, I know we're going to do it again. I know we're going to do it again under better circumstances, which is going to be awesome. But there's another reason you were here in the Northeast, in New Jersey, too.
Yeah.
Something nice and shiny out in the driveway there. You want to talk a little bit about?
I had to come all this way to get a 20-plus foot sticker from my boy Mike Pilotti from VFX Wraps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mike from VFX.
Yep.
There
so
he is.
You guys saw a little piece of that on the Hobie.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
So he hit the Hobie with some love. Oh, snap.
All right.
Look at
so
that.
So here we go. Join us now on Ike Live. We've got the man himself. And if you have a boat and it needs to get wrapped, you need to check out VFX. If you're looking at some of the dopest wraps out there today, guess who designed them? Our man right here. Mike!
Woo!
Welcome to Ike Live, bro.
Uh-oh.
Come on, Bri. Produce, baby.
Yep, there it is.
Come on, Bri.
All right.
That's all right. You work on that. We're going to talk.
I have a question.
You got the boat wrapped.
Yeah.
And
what boat?
You got things wrapped.
Yeah.
And dude, I don't know how to even talk about this without giving it away. But
I got a new boat, people. There's a new Dream Machine. Okay.
A new Dream Machine. All
there's
right.
A brand new one.
Okay.
It's crazy. So
it's
you guys can talk about it for sure, but we can't show you until we put together a little content that does it justice, does the incredible detail work that Mike put on it justice. Like,
yeah.
Man, I think it's kind of my personality to a T.
Dude, it's insane. And I'm around a lot of wraps. I see a lot of boat wraps. It's
can you
for
hear me?
Sure in my top three
cool.
of wraps I've ever
That's
seen.
That's dope.
It's so unbelievable. I can't wait till you let the world in on it. It's pretty unreal.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's been wild. And while we're fishing in the Susquehanna Flats, it was the first time I actually got to see it from an outside perspective when Clint was operating the trolling motor as a camera boat. And, man, for the first 3 hours, I just kept turning around and like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, because you're seeing it for the first time actually on the water.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's wild, man. It's a representation of, like, my entire life to this point, man. Like, it's taken me a long time to leverage myself into the first boat and everything in between.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. All the way to that thing. So
yep.
We got Mike.
Yeah, I think we got him now. Finally, we got some audio.
I've never done Zoom before.
We got him. Mike, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
So,
good,
so check this out, Mike. When we were driving home from the Susquehanna Flats, I get a text from Mike, who saw us driving down I-95 going the other way.
No shit.
Like, it's
yep.
Like, what?
Pitch black. I saw that new rig.
Man.
I missed Ike somehow, but I saw Oliver.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Mike is the marathon man. He travels, and I don't know how you do it, bro. You're everywhere wrapping boats.
Yeah, where are you right now? No, are you in the shop? Are you traveling? Where are you right now, Mike?
I'm in a hotel in Auburn, Alabama right now.
Okay.
So we got 20 boats we're wrapping for Auburn University.
Wow.
So shout out to Logan Parks. He's the president there of the Auburn fishing team.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20 boats.
That's awesome. So, that's awesome. Yeah. I want to ask you this, Mike. Every year you come up with these wraps that are just so mind-blowing. Dude, without a doubt, you are the guy now for designing the best wraps out there. Dude, we've been working together for so long. I remember when you were grinding, when you were hustling, when you were trying to build the brand, trying to get the VFX name out there. Dude, how'd all this happen? How did it get to this point?
It started first with Bass University, where we met you guys, met Pete, Corinne, my wife, partner in the business. She, she got me some tickets to just go and learn bass fishing. And, it just grew from there. We saw you, met a bunch of guys, met Pete, and I think it was probably about 3 a.m. at a bar. Struck a deal with Pete, a couple bottles of tequila in, but just one thing led to another. I mean, that's so long ago.
It's so unbelievable, man.
Hard work and passion, man.
Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short, bro.
Dude, it's unbelievable. Yeah. And for everybody watching and listening, I've got to watch Mike at his craft. I know you have. Dude, wrapping a boat the right way, like doing it right, is the most difficult thing. Bro, I have a hard time putting a free tackle warehouse
sticker. That's what I was telling him.
On the back of the truck, let alone, you know what I'm saying, bro? I mean, I stick them dumb things everywhere.
For real.
And that's hard.
It is so hard.
To the level of detail. How did you get good at this? Because this is a skill. This is a craft.
Yeah, I don't know. I started this 2003, graphics and decals on cars, the Fast and Furious era.
Yeah.
Before that, a little
Dom
bit
Toretto.
Of airbrushing.
Shout out to Dom Toretto.
Yep.
Dom Toretto.
Yeah, right.
Fast and Furious.
Friggin' that was a long time ago. it was the cars, it was the graphics. Just stuff that I loved. I was big into the cars back then.
Yeah.
A few years later, started fishing, got into a little bit of tournament fishing, and I wrapped my boat, wrapped my truck, and it kind of took off from there. And it's just you start doing 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 40, 50, 60 boats a year. You just builds from there, and you get good at what you do.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Now, I want to know about this collab, and I know again we can't give too much away.
Yep.
But it when I saw it, Mike, it blew me away, blew my socks off. But awesome. Tell me about this, because you had the concept, you had the idea.
Yeah. Shout out to one of my fans. He tagged me in this photo on the gram. He said, "Hey, maybe this would be cool on the next Dream Machine." And I looked at it at first, and I'm like, "Nah, man, that's crazy." But it just it was in the back of my head, and I went back to it, and I reached out to Mike, and I was like, "Yo, what do you think about this?" Because it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'll let him go from there.
Yeah.
Well, it's tough not to give too much away, but yeah, you sent me that photo and instantly I just knew I had ideas rolling. I got excited right away. Something I've never seen done on a boat before. I saw an opportunity to just, take it and run. And you really gave me that opportunity. Oliver, I really appreciate that.
Awesome.
And definitely before anything, I want to give a shout out to my good buddy, Dan Goikman. He's the one that hooked up with you at the Suffering Boat Show last year. And, definitely if it wasn't for Dan, we wouldn't be having Oliver and I this conversation right now. So, without giving too much, it's badass.
Yeah, I can't wait for everybody to see it. And even the material. The way it's
everything, man.
Everything. It's
beautiful. Had multiple boat wraps up to this point, and I've seen a ton of boat wraps, And this thing doesn't even look like a wrap. There's no like weird seams or like there. It's immaculate. It's crazy. It's the best one I've ever put my eyes on.
Yeah.
So thank you for that, brother.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah, it's it tops. It definitely tops my list too. You know, a lot of people get upset with that, but that's that shoots right up
number
to the top.
One?
Two. Mike, no offense, no offense. You gave us an opportunity to run with yours last year.
No, that's
year.
All right.
That, but this one might just creep a little past you on that
that's
one.
All right. Right behind the Ike Live little boat.
Oh yeah, the Ike Live tiny boat's pretty dope too.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty dope.
That was a lot of fun.
I'd put all three of those boats. I'd put my boat, Ike Live, and I'll put the top three.
I mean,
I'll take three, too. I'll take the bottom one.
Yeah, we're excited to show the world, man. It's
it's really sick.
It's kind of creative, I hope, and I hope people appreciate it. But more than anything, man, it's just it's a symbol of a lifelong dream to be able to have something like that to help facilitate chasing these hard-to-catch fish.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty amazing. All right, Mike, I'm going to corner you with two questions before we let you go.
Uh-oh.
First question, hardest thing about wrapping a bass boat?
It's not a flat surface. There's not a flat surface anywhere on it. Lining up the graphics, just, you know, I have a way I want things to lay out. And, you know, you're working around a lot of obstacles on a boat. And two, you know, you have a failure on a car, you get a little edge peel up, whatever. It's nothing to worry about. You got a bass boat that's running 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. There's no room for error.
Yeah. Water pressure.
You know, it's So you got to take your time prepping. You got to take your time every step of the way, and you know, you just got to pay attention.
Yeah.
That's probably the hardest thing with them.
All right. Second question. Easiest thing about wrapping a bass boat.
It's what I love. I don't dread a minute of it. You know, my wife and I, we really dove into this, and, you know, it's where my passion is. Unfortunately, the more boats I wrap, the less time I get to fish. The more I focus on, you know, on wrapping, the more my fishing suffers, but it's still there. It's still what I love. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, listen to me. If you're watching or listening right now, and I'm not just saying this. You can take Oliver's word.
I can
take
attest to this.
Brian the Carpenter's word for
it.
If you want to wrap and you want it done right and beautiful, please, Mike, how can they get a hold of you? How can they find you?
Instagram, Facebook, VFX Wraps, VFXWraps.com. You know, shoot me an email. If I'm a little slow this time of year, just give me a day or two to respond. Yeah, we've got 34 wraps on the schedule in the next month. You know, I'm down here with my installer, Connor. You know, we're hammering down. You know, Corinne's back home. She's holding the fort down there. And, yeah, but VFXwraps.com. Shoot me an email. Give me a call. Message us on Facebook, Instagram.
Hey, to give you guys a little perspective, I had to have this done to the point where I came from the opposite corner of the country.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. First time we've had California plates in the shop.
So. That's a big perspective on it.
Yeah, it is.
That's a big perspective.
That says a lot.
I appreciate Oliver, you taking that trip out, man. You know, this we talked originally about doing this. You know, where is it? Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I just I was ready to go, but I just really wanted to do this in my own environment, take my time, you know, let the ideas run. A lot of times until you see the boat, until you, especially with what you allowed us to do on this, I just really wanted that time, and I wanted to dive into it. And I know that wasn't an easy drive out here, and the fishing, you know, I wish I could say the fishing was a little better for you, know, but hopefully the wrap, you know, made the trip worth it.
It's literally my dream machine, so I needed the wrap to reflect that, and you did that, bro. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you,
Mike. Thanks for coming on tonight, man. And
thank you guys.
Yeah,
thank you, Mike. Thanks for all you do for Bass University, and we got the Bass University rig coming your way.
Please,
at some time, very soon.
Very soon.
It's great, right, guys. Our best to Corinne and family.
Yeah, big
and,
shout out to Corinne and Connor.
Great to see you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully they're watching. Connor's behind me getting dinner, so Corinne, hopefully she's back home. But yeah, thank you guys, and it's definitely awesome to be on here. So.
You got
dude, and the Hobie looks dope too.
Oh yeah, that's a little, it's like a little compliment, you know?
Yeah.
Just a little something.
Yeah.
Little cherry on top.
It's beautiful. There you have it. Thank you, Mike.
All right.
Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Guys. All right.
BFXwraps.com.
Man.
BFXwraps.
It's amazing. Yeah. What awesome. That work yeah. Mike does is just in
it's incredible.
Insane.
He's an artist.
It's art.
Dude, and that's an art. It is hard. Like I'm telling you, I told him the exact same thing. I have trouble lining up a sticker not crooked.
I'm telling everyone I put on is messed up. Air bubbles and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
How you do a 22-foot boat? Gosh. I have no idea. It's crazy.
Mike, I feel like you provoked Oliver to make an announcement that he's going to have an announcement.
Oh. No, I think there's going to be an announcement tonight. Well, I think there's going to be an announcement.
Are you gonna show the image tonight?
No.
Oh no.
They ain't ready.
No, not the boat. But there's another announcement, Pete. That's bigger.
Let's go with that, man. This is Megatron.
All right,
we're getting long.
All right, let's do it. We're going long. Brian DeCarpenter's actually producing tonight. Which
hey, yeah, and I've got more things to hit.
All right, so if you're watching or listening, I know a lot of you specifically. You know, you knew Oliver was coming on tonight. You knew there was an announcement, so. Let's not wait anymore. Like for my announcements, Bri, I go months, years sometimes before I give it away.
Until half the people unfollow you. And then,
right, and everybody unfollows me and hates me. So let's not follow that path. Oliver, we got a big, big announcement. You want to let the world in on what's going on in 2021?
Might as well, man. This is way too hard.
All right.
I give up.
All right.
I'm going back to the normal, you know, rat race, 9 to 5.
Nice. Round of applause, what? Everybody. Oliver's getting a job.
Getting a job. Anybody hiring? man, but on a real note, a lot of what we discussed kind of has led up to this decision that it's been weighing heavily on me for the last couple seasons because it's always been a timing thing for me. And you got to go back in context once again, right? My generation and what we were able to consume and what the fishing culture was compromised of back then.
Yeah.
And back then, nobody on the West Coast I knew actually made a living fishing. That wasn't a thing outside of media, right? Or if you worked at a tackle shop,
right?
Like we both did.
Yeah. Or guide.
Right. And I didn't even really know that many guides in Southern California in the freshwater side. So there was really one way that I was exposed to as a young, influential, you know, angler. And that was fishing tournaments and being a Bass Pro and seeing guys like Mike Iaconelli like competing on a national level. Like other than that, I didn't really see a way to actually fish for a living.
Right.
And once again, like that was so far from my reality because you need sponsors apparently or if you're not, you know, rolling in dough, which I never was and still I'm not. You need tools at your disposal, a boat with a nice shiny 20-plus-foot sticker.
Yeah.
And like, dude, that
a truck.
Never, a truck.
Lures, rods,
all of
line,
that.
Lodging,
dude, there's
fuel.
So much. Yeah. I've never been so good at fishing where like someone came to recruit me to come fish the Bassmasters. That's not a thing in our sport.
Right.
And it's just taken a lifetime for me to leverage myself in a position to where I'm like, man, maybe I could take a crack at this one day.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't want to go down the road I see so many people go down. And, dude, shout out to everybody that's ever chased this dream because it's one of the hardest ones to bring to fruition. Tens of thousands of you guys know what I'm talking about, man. To, number one, have the balls to take that step and gamble everything oftentimes, right? Put yourself beyond your means to give yourself a chance.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it bothers me that this current landscape of fishing and media and content almost has forgotten how important that context of tournament angling is.
Right.
Because even though my focus has been elsewhere, like I've always had an incredible amount of respect for that scene and that part of the culture and its influence on fishing as a whole.
Right.
And I just feel like, man, it's being disrespected. Guys like yourself, the anglers themselves, aren't given due respect, and it's wild to me. And I want to have an opportunity to have an influence on that, in my own way.
Yeah.
So I told myself I just wouldn't put myself in a position where I'm struggling to pay for entries, I'm struggling to pay for expenses, and letting the stresses and the unknowns factor into my performance and my ability to catch fish.
Right.
And I feel like I finally am at that point in my life. And yep. I've got an incredible amount of experience in the last 6-7 years under my belt across so many different scenarios. And man, if there's no other time to try and compete on the Bassmaster Opens,
yeah,
there is no other better time than now. So 2021, I've committed to fishing all 9 events.
Wow. How about that?
Big news. 'Cause I want to be like Mike.
There you go. That's wild, man.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And all 9, which is
I'm
awesome.
All in.
Right. Yeah, you're all in. You're doing it.
I don't do anything half-assed.
Right. Yeah.
I haven't got to this point by being timid or being unsure of myself.
Yeah.
I've had to earn my confidence the hard way. And I'm good, man. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready to have fun.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important element that I saw get missed by a lot of tournament anglers, as I was a tournament angler for most of my life at a much lower level, of course.
Yeah.
But the rules are the same.
Yeah.
The concept is the same. The execution is the same, and the highs are the same, and the lows are the same.
Yeah.
And I just see so many guys that fall so in love with bass fishing and get enthralled with tournament fishing, and then it turns sour.
Right.
For so many reasons.
Yeah.
And man, if you're not doing it to have fun, number one, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Right. Yeah.
And I was guilty of that as a younger angler.
Right.
Like, dude, I was like, I mean, it's gambling at some degree.
Right.
Right. You're buying in.
Yeah.
Like, psh, man, I could beat these guys and make my money back, or you know.
Yeah.
And man, so many times I ate it, man. I just donate. Like, man, this is brutal.
Yeah. I think you're doing the right thing, though. Pete, I want you to weigh in on this. So many guys, young anglers, have that vision, and they jump right into it. Oliver took the opposite approach. He took his time. He waited for things to get right. He got the experience. He's got a great attitude. Is this the way to do it? Is this the way to get into it?
I think so. You know, a lot of guys will, you know, like you said, they have bad experiences, Oliver, because they, you know, they get the carriage in front of the horse. You know, maybe they get the sponsorship first before they have the fishing experience, or maybe they just have the revenue to play with, and they jump out there and have a bad experience with it. But that's the way to do it. You know, is to be patient and learn. You know, obsess yourself like you experienced with Mike. How Mike still obsesses.
I'm telling you.
No. I mean, I would fish till dark, and I'm exhaust myself at practice for one of these tournaments, and I'm like, this is the day I am going to be the last one to the boat launch, and every single time he would still be behind me, you know, still be 30 minutes behind me. It'd be pitch black.
It's like a Kobe Bryant story, man.
I know. Just, but no, that's the way to do it, you know, and it's big. It's a big thing. You know, you're taking on 9 tournaments. You know, it's awesome. But let me ask you, have you fished tournaments before? What's your, you know, where have you been in your tournament game leading up to now?
So this goes back to being only able to digest a little piece of each person's story, right? And even Clint, just assume I didn't have any tournament experience for the most part. And like, bro, I've been around this game for a minute. And I grew up fishing the club level, regional team tournament stuff, and, you know, dabbled. The highest level I got to was like an FLW Costa on the West Coast, because our opportunities are limited on the West Coast. It's not like Texas on. Like, it's a whole different scene. So, I mean, I fished a lot of them, man. Like, I loved it. And even before I was able to fish them, because I was so heavily influenced by tournament culture, when I'm fun fishing, I'm obviously counting how many fish I catch, but also trying to figure out how much my biggest five weighed.
You're having a tournament in your own head.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I used to do that all the time.
Dude, you know how nervous I was to fish against my friends in our first fun tournament? Bro, I took that as serious as the Bassmaster Classic. I am not playing.
Hell yeah, dude.
As you should.
Yo, that first bite I got on that Carolina rig Yamamoto grub, I was like, oh, here it comes. These fools are in trouble. And that's the only one I caught. I lost. But it's just those early dreams, man. It was a part of my upbringing as a young angler. That might not be the case anymore because you got all these other avenues within fishing.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, people have lost that importance of context. All right, it's not everything.
Yeah.
But it is important because that context matters.
Yeah.
Like, we had to go to a lake we call Pizza Lake because they eat pizza off of Joe's dock.
Pizza.
Okay?
Pizza eaters.
That four-pounder, as cool as it was and a much-needed confidence booster, and you know, I almost was like, wow, really? I'm going to go fish the opens? I can't even catch a bass right now. All right?
It's okay. I can't either.
The context of that is important. That, you know, I may not be able to catch that fish doing what I was doing on a pressured public lake in a time constraint at a location.
Yeah.
Like, that's – and remember, I talked about dudes putting themselves in this position to have a chance. You think they're going to hold back?
Yeah.
Bro, they got everything riding on this a lot of times.
Yeah.
You should be paying attention to somebody trying their best to catch a fish when it's not easy. Yep. Not when they eat pizza.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, too. And I want to get to Riz because I know Riz is getting backed up with questions. But I did want to ask you something, Bri. You had a note on here, which I think is dead on, that most people do it the other way, right?
Everybody does.
Everybody dreams.
Everybody, but everybody does it the other way. Everybody, they'll go fish the opens, worry about the other stuff later, right?
Burr.
The content, the branding, the fan. But you've reversed it, right?
Well,
Brian,
I mean,
he's reversed it.
He's making a living in the fishing industry
already,
which is wild.
Right.
Already.
Without fishing tournaments.
Right.
Nobody goes from already making a living in the fishing industry without fishing tournaments and then goes that way. Unless maybe like some guides or something like that. But I don't really know of anybody that's done it the way he's done it. Come from
very
a
unique
content creator
very
perspective.
Yeah. Thanks for not calling me a YouTuber. I appreciate you.
Boom. I got you, brother.
Very unique. Very unique.
It is.
Are you worried? Are you worried about your brand? Are you worried that, you know?
You know, what's funny is I've had a couple conversations with, you know, brand partners, and, you know, some people have been, like, expressing concern with that. And I'm like, bro, you really think I'm going to bomb 9 times in a row? Because I don't.
That's good confidence.
Come on, man.
Confidence is good.
I'm telling you, I've earned my confidence. I've taken my licks. I've blanked 4 days in a row in Jersey. I'm ready for this. I got no problem losing. I got no problem blanking.
There you have it.
I've done wilder things within fishing.
Bash U, Ike Live Crew, and Jersey were taking all the credit for Oliver's success.
Big shout out to the Northeast.
Four
man.
Shitty days.
Y'all getting me ready.
I got a question about swim bait fishing and how you're gonna manage that in the tournament scene.
Yeah, it's a good question.
So this is the same kind of scenario unfolding as I entered that big fish tournament in Missouri on Lake of the Ozarks in 2018, right? Like, I'm like, oh, how many people fish this thing? Thousands? Okay, that's daunting. Now let's think about how much big fish experience that body of anglers represents, and realizing I probably have more than all of them.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah. Specifically and fishing, for big
for
fish.
For a big fish within whatever, you know, conditions.
Yeah.
I've literally spent portions of my life trying to find that fish.
Yeah.
So I paid my dues, man, and understood that I stand a pretty decent shot at executing what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah.
And I called my boy Wes Yancey. He had just hired a new media guy. And I was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Come out, man. I got a feeling about this. I haven't caught a bass in largemouth in 5 months because I've been smallmouth fishing and whatever else all summer. But I just feel good about this. Like, let's go have some fun, number one.
Yeah.
And let's maybe capture a dope story to share with other anglers. But at the same time, like, yo, I'm ready to catch a big one. Like, I haven't thrown a big swim bait at a largemouth in a while. Like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And, man, we went out there, and I did it. Despite anybody's perceptions or, you know, insecurities about my ability to perform that act. And it's a lot of the same, man. It's the mental side of the fishing game that's allowed me to put myself in a position again and again and again to catch a fish of a lifetime for the average angler. Insert largemouth bass, insert smallmouth bass, insert muskies. I got a freaking meter 21 Murray cod. Like, dude, I've got to experience really hard to experience things through fishing. And obviously competing at that level is really hard. But man, I've just paid my dues and I'm ready, man. Yeah. I'm good, and I'm in a position now where if I fail, it's not gonna matter because I'm still gonna catch a big fish, in a tournament or not.
Right.
Hopefully in the tournament.
Yeah.
And I've done that at all those bottom levels.
Yeah.
The first time I caught a swim bait bass in tournament competition was in my club tournament. Shout out to the California Bass Contenders. I was fishing with my man Ron Jenke, who I got to hang out with at Havasu this last Memorial Day weekend. You know, he had a super dope Ranger at the time, and you know, I was still learning when to throw the swim bait and when not to. We're at Diamond Valley, foggy morning, run all the way to the opposite corner. I throw a 10-inch heavy triple trout over this deep saddle in like 35 feet of water, and like, dude, within 5 minutes, I caught one. And that mental barrier that I broke through of catching a big bait fish in a tournament was broken.
Right.
I did it.
Right.
And I failed a bunch of times after that.
Yeah.
But then I've also won team tournaments in the regional side by like margins of 19 pounds on the big bait.
Right.
Caught six fish, called a 6-pounder.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I've done that. And that those are things that seem inconceivable to a younger version of myself.
Yeah.
So this is no different to me.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, the one thing that sticks out to me as you're talking is, and Pete knows this too, is confidence. And you gotta have confidence, and you gotta believe you can win. You gotta believe you can catch a big one every time you go out. And if you don't, if you don't believe that, you won't.
Totally.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
But if you believe it can happen. It happens more easily.
And I hope my confidence comes across as that and not arrogance, because the difference is arrogance is not earned.
Right.
Like, I've taken those licks.
Yeah.
Right. And I know. It's just like basketball.
Yeah.
Right. And I've got to a point where I just stopped yapping, and I've let my game speak for itself. Yeah. And I feel like I've done that with my fishing.
Yeah.
And I've worked really hard to build this body of work that represents my abilities to do something difficult in a context that matters. Cause other than today, other than fishing on a Yeti event, like, I don't do the private stuff. Because the context matters to me. I don't need to just catch a bass.
Right.
I want to catch a bass that people don't think can be caught.
Yeah.
That's why I don't go to El Salto. That's why I don't do this, that, and a third. Like, no. Like, it's like the homies that go, you know, to the dance club in TJ and come back and like, man, that girl really likes me. personality. Like, bro, you're covered in glitter, homie. Like,
dude, it's funny because
that doesn't translate to the bar down the street.
That story you just told is Brian the Carpenter every week.
Every week.
Hold on. Why don't we update? Who's on here?
What do you mean?
I don't know. We got the Riz over there.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't gonna say nothing. But,
I meant Brian's ghost. Rizzo, what do you got?
Kill me.
You got some questions coming through. What do you got?
Yeah, we do. So the first one that I want to go with here is from it's from Ike's Tattoos, and Ike's Tattoos wants to know what lake are you looking forward to most on the open schedule, and what lake are you concerned about most on the open?
I'm not concerned about any of them. I'm going to give myself an opportunity to learn every one of them. I've fished a few of them, so the ones that I fished, I'm looking forward to because I've had good history on a couple of them. They're all within my wheelhouse because it all involves fishing. And a rod and a reel and a hook.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot, man. So I'm honestly looking to every opportunity. Like, seriously. Like, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to try to do what I do best and not worry about anything else. Like, the chips will fall where they fall. And I'm just going to give it hell and have a blast and document it and share it with you guys. And if you can find some sense of engagement and, you know, something you can relate to, like, I'm good, man, like, win or lose, however it ends up. And the beauty is, like, I honestly don't care, like, if I don't win.
Yeah.
Because I told myself I wanted to be in a position to win big.
Right.
It's the same mindset as catching a trophy bass. The strategy is different. The execution is different. But every tournament I've won, like, I didn't care if I lost
right.
or not.
Yeah.
And I just went out there and tried to catch the five biggest ones I could.
You didn't have the pressure that if you didn't do good, it wouldn't crush you.
Right.
Right.
Because I failed plenty of times. Like,
yeah.
It'd just be another failure.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oliver, your week here in New Jersey is going to prepare you for the suckhole called Oneida Lake.
Oh, I've been on Oneida. I had fun on Oneida. It's a big pickle
in
there.
I hate that lake, man.
Pete hates it.
Oh, that's too
I'm
going
to get it this year. The year I'm going to get Oneida Lake. This is the year.
Pete's hate. Pete's hate on the message board.
Pete's taint.
Riz, what else you got?
So the next one I'll go with is from the Tin Cup Bottle. And the bottle wants to know, Oliver, speak the truth. Would you rather catch consistent keener fish throughout the year or win one Bassmaster Opens event?
Oh. Huh.
That's a tough one. Well, I've caught teeners, but I haven't won a Bassmaster Open yet. I'm going to go with the Open.
I would say so, yeah.
But if you were to ask me if I'd rather have the world record or the classic,
say
somebody
it.
Wins a classic every year.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, you're right.
There's only two people at the top of that world record list.
I'd like the shot at the world record.
Oliver, when you talk about on your videos, cast to catch, is that like an influence from the debacle that happened with Mike Long?
Man, that's Southern California drama is what that influence is. Right, people have been faking it, like, and it started in the marketing side of fishing industry, and it's an ugly part of the game. So to resolve that, people started putting out cast to catch footage, uncut clips, to show people
right.
like, yo, I really did this.
Yeah.
And it's part of addressing the ugly side of the game, but it's become a necessity, and it sucks because, like, I really can't even go out and have fun and just, like, make a cast without having a camera rolling anymore.
Right.
Like, what does that say about where this culture is?
Right.
Yeah.
I could catch one on a piece of, you know, hot dog or a pizza.
Pizza.
What if that thing's like a giant?
Hey, right. It's you know, it's just that the assholes ruin it for everybody.
Man.
Because of them, we got to have passwords for everything.
Right.
And I cannot remember my damn passwords. I drive up a freaking wall, but because some scumbag doesn't want to work for a living, has to hack into people's shit, we all got to have passwords. So I'm with you.
Yeah, man. So it is just what it is.
That whole thing, I mean, that affected – the Mike Long thing affected a lot of people, but it really, really seemed like it affected the West Coast swim bait guys. Like, there was this –
sure.
I mean, we heard it. We just when it happened, we discussed it on the show, and we heard from people out here that were appalled and disgusted by it.
Right.
But what was the? I mean, when it went down, what was the feeling from the swim bait guys out west? Was it they wanted to go kill them? They wanted to lynch them?
Yeah, you know, I will say when that happened, I was honestly kind of disappointed in how quickly the mob just turned on a human being.
Right.
Number one. Potentially knowing all the facts, and I'm, you know, until the world hears from Mike Long himself, I can't really elaborate on anything more than that.
Right.
But, like, damn, like, let's hear from that dude first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, your opinion can be whatever it is. But it sucked. It sucked for the culture, right? It just sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very inspirational to a lot of people.
For sure. And I mean, he was an influence on me and everybody else that had big bass dreams or aspirations to catch a giant bass. Because, like, for a heavy portion of the 90s and the 2000s, like, that dude was on every magazine, on TV shows. And
a lot of endorsements.
For sure.
A lot of money. A lot of sponsorships.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I actually was messaging with him a couple years back about coming on Bass U. And then, you know, I'm peripherally involved with this whole thing and trying to keep, you know, the pulse on all the different subgenres within fishing and swim bait, you know, that whole genre being one of them. And I was able to pick up on a few negative vibes about him.
Back before it came out.
Even out here, I picked up on some stuff that steered me away.
Yeah.
So I just want to give myself a shout out for sniffing out the rat.
Shout out to Brian Carpenter.
Shout out to Brian Carpenter.
I want to put this out there too, right? Like, you can only take what you see at face value, yourself, for example, and formulate a complete picture. So I'm telling you, like, until the world hears from him, I would.
It's interesting that he hasn't addressed. He hasn't addressed anything yet, has he?
I would like to hear what he had to say.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Because honestly, people were waiting for me chime in on this. This
Brian Carpenter.
You
Mike
bastards
Long.
Are the only ones like that have got me to talk about this at all. You bastards.
Yeah.
But and here's the thing. I know Mike on a personal level to where like that person that I knew isn't that same person.
Right.
That it just doesn't line up.
Right.
Right. He spent time in my boat. I've seen him catch big bass.
Right.
So did he do what he did? Maybe.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one, man.
It sucks.
It is tough. It just sucks.
Yeah.
You know, I can agree with you on one thing, and that is sometimes the rush to the internet rush to lynch somebody. Or the internet lynchings that happen so quickly.
Yeah. It's a common human behavior, right?
Yeah,
it is. All the way back.
One person makes one comment, and the next guy's got to say something even nastier.
It's a snowball effect. It's wild.
That is kind of ugly, you know. The footage certainly seemed pretty compelling, but, you know, like you said.
In those instances, it certainly seemed that he was up to no good. But you're right. There's two sides to every story, but he's not giving us his side of the story.
Honestly, over the years, I've been like telling him, like, man, you should just speak up for yourself more, because there's just people that don't like him, obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I mean, there's people that don't like you. People that don't like me.
Yeah.
There's probably nobody that doesn't like Brian the Carpenter.
Everybody likes Brian, except for his wife.
Right. Her.
Yeah, man. So I don't know. I honestly would rather have people focus on the positives in the sport. I don't even have time to digest all of that going on in my life, let alone whatever drama bullshit.
Right.
I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, unfortunate is what it is.
Speaking of the drama,
to hear from him.
You know? And I hope we do.
Yeah.
What was the drama like when you caught that 17-4?
Oh, man. I mean, look at the video, right? I've got it documented from three different angles. Beyond cast the catch, like 20-minute long clip leading into it, and had, you know, Scott Whitmer and Whit Curry with me, like in a different boat, like witnesses the whole deal, the most well-documented fish of that caliber ever. That's not a clickbait title, right? Cast to catch to scale, and people still yap. It's crazy.
About what?
Conspiracy theories. I took GPS coordinates and this, that, and the third. It's like, yo, what the hell? Like, where? I want to hear some name drops. Who saw me? Who got this info?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I heard this, that. Okay. Yeah. Oh, really?
Dude,
it's wild.
I just remember what it felt like for me to catch that Black Fury pickerel. And I was thinking, like, what the hell did that feel like when you put that fish in the net, man?
Yeah.
Can you even describe it?
I did. Have you not been on YouTube?
Yeah, you said you can't describe it.
I mean, yeah, they say a picture, you know, says 1,000 words. I got a pretty long video with some narration and, you know, voiceover. I mean, I can only do so much.
People send you a link.
Yeah. I thought you might have had some time to, you know, dwell on it and. It was pretty awesome. It was amazing.
It was awesome.
Obviously, everybody's watched it.
70 pounders, giant,
tremendous catch.
There's bigger,
giant.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah,
what the? Speaking of giants, Brian.
Okay, go ahead. I got a few things before, you know.
All right.
We take our next break.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about this one thing and then get to it. The other world record. The story that I heard, and again, this is funny because as the fish get bigger, the stories get bigger, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and again, if you weren't there, if you didn't see video, cast the catch, then there's speculation involved, right?
Always.
But the story that I heard when I was in Japan, the story that I heard from, like, a dude that guides on Biwa, like, right, 300 days a year, pretty reliable source, was that it was caught on a bluegill and, you know, that whole...
I think that's actually, like, known fact.
Is it known fact?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's legal there.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That changes it to me,
I think that's why it's interesting in
fishing.
Does
that not change it, though?
Yeah. Yeah, it does, but it's different, right? Because that cultural situation is different than ours.
Right?
In California, we can't use bluegill for bait.
Right.
But I get on the Colorado River system that borders Arizona, and we can. In Texas, you can. I don't know what it's like here.
Right.
But what's okay here isn't okay over there, so who's right or who's wrong?
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to me, because obviously he caught it on live bait. Does it make it less of an accomplishment? Who's to say? And I mean,
right,
who's the governing body there?
Yeah.
Whose opinion is more important than the other guys?
Yeah.
I think
it seemed like
world
he actually had to be a pretty, pretty witty and ingenious human being to lead up to that sequence of events. From what I understand, I don't know the whole story. I've never spoken to Manabu, but I could be getting this wrong because I wasn't there. All right. But from what I understand, he found this fish or group of fish
and was on a piling.
Yeah, and was conditioning them.
Yeah, he fed them for months.
Science, baby.
Yeah.
Like,
he fed them for months. So he basically...
What?
The story that I heard, it's probably the same one. On Lake Biwa, there's a bridge that... So Biwa has a section that's super shallow, almost like Ticonderoga, Champlain. And then you get to a bridge where the lake opens up. And he was gone there like every other day for months. He'd go with bluegill, and he would get the bluegill. They'd all be bite-sized, you know, those good eating-sized bluegill.
Right.
And he would, like, stun them a little bit. You know, he'd just kind of smack them a little so they'd get a little stunned. He'd throw them out there, and he'd have this group of bass on this piling just coming up. He did it for months and months and months, dude.
Pavlov's response.
Yeah. And so the fish are getting used to his boat. They're getting used to the noise. They're getting used to the... You know, when that boat came at a certain time, you know, the banging of the bluegill's head on the side of the boat and knowing that they're going to be
fed.
All
that is positive reinforcement, right?
Yeah. So the story that I heard is finally the day, and he picked the right day. It was like an overcast day. He went for his feeding, and he got the bluegill, and he stunned it. And he hooked this one. He hooked on there, and he threw it out there next to the piling. And that group of fish ran up to the bluegill as it hits the water. And there's like, I can't remember if he said 5 or 7 fish in the group.
Big ones.
And the smallest one in the group grabs the bluegill and eats it. And that was the world record.
What?
How crazy
what?
Is that?
The smallest one in the group of 5 or 7 ate the bluegill. And that was the world record.
Wow. But, you know, think about the amount of dedication and just creativeness to put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
Whether you think a live bait catch, you know, is the same thing as an artificial lure catch, and I personally don't, obviously. But if you go back to the live bait culture of Southern California in the early 90s, dude, it was all live bait.
Yeah.
Crawdads.
Right.
Mudsuckers.
Yeah.
Water dogs. Nobody batted an eye at that.
Right.
They didn't go, oh, you caught that 20-pounder on a crawdad. Oh, you suck.
20 pounds. Jesus.
Dude, that stuff that was going on was crazy.
Yeah. I actually met him. Yeah. He was at the
Japanese angler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was at the classic in New Orleans that Kevin won, and I was with Ed, and he was at the bar, the hotel bar, after Kevin won, and we were lighting up his tab.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you know, he won, and so he had an open tab, and Freddie Rumbanis was there, and Kevin, I hope you're listening, and he's like, yeah, just throw it on his tab, and we just dog-piled it.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks, Kev.
Nice.
But he was there. And,
when did he win?
We sort of kind of talked to him, but he don't speak very good English.
Yeah, I'm just saying, at that point, after feeding him for 2 months, don't you think he could have threw like a Matt Loris bluegill in there and he would have ate it?
Maybe.
Or a Senko.
Or a black Senko, Pete. 5-inch.
100%. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he – I would assume that he tried catching it on an artificial. But, like, you know, being around pressured trophy fish in Southern California, not even close to that size. Yo, man, these things are not dumb.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not dumb.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
It's interesting.
The dude did what he had to do. He caught it.
Yeah.
If legally. It's a legal catch, it's a legal catch. Right. You know? I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. I don't. Unless they change the rules for records, you know,
they don't
let it fly.
Yeah.
You know, that's amazing. Those other five, I can't imagine. What were they? 23, 24, 25 pounds?
We'll never know. Only he'll know. We have to get him on Ike Live too, Brian. We'll have a translator on. We'll get Sago, Cieto, to translate for us. All right, Brian, what
Sago
do you got?
Sago can speak good English?
Dude, Sago's English is great.
We had him on the couch down in the old studio.
Yeah, but he was trying to let Marizo do his own thing.
Okay.
But no, when I went to Japan, Sago was helped with the translation.
Well, fantastic then.
Yeah. What do you got, Brian?
Let's take a commercial break. We got some guests coming on, some surprise guests. You guys don't know who they are. Big names.
Ooh.
This is going to be fun. And I wanted to give, again, Greg DePalma turned me on, hooked us up with the Kinect to Joe.
Big shout out to Joe.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Thank you to both those guys. I haven't met Joe yet, but I can't wait to be his best friend in Fish's Lake.
He's a good guy. He's
Bring
a good
the
guy.
Pizza.
Yeah. And, without them, too, you still wouldn't have a bass in New Jersey.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
So, yeah.
GDP, thank you. Hang in there with us. Listen, we got one more segment coming. It's going to be a good one. I don't even know who the guests are. Also, we're going to be doing an MTB unboxing. Hang in there with us when we come back. One more segment of Ike Live.
Hi. Today we're going chest to chest in the Dr. Squatch lather test. On that half of Mike's impressive chest, we're rubbing him down with three name brand bars. The result? A sad, milky film of disappointment. How's that feel, Mike? You see, Big Soap cuts corners and strips out all the sudsy goodness in order to make production cheaper. But not Dr. Squatch. Don't worry, Mike. Dr. Squatch soap retains all the natural ingredients, which creates a rich, foamy lather, leaving your skin healthy, soft, and clean. Ooh, looks like Squatch is taking over this peck party. How do you feel now, Mike? Dr. Squatch Natural Soap. When we say it lathers, it f***ing lathers.
You deserve glorious lather. Take the lather challenge for yourself today.
4.5-inch drop shot worm. Bama bug. Finesse jig, PB&J. Give me something hard.
Hey, KVD here. I didn't always know this much about fishing. 4-0 EWG worm hook. In fact, there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between a jerkbait and a stickbait. But then I signed up for Mystery Tackle Box, the original monthly tackle subscription. And now I know more about fishing than I do about Calculus.
And he knows a lot about Calculus.
Plus, I get amazing extras like free fishing magazines.
October 2016. Featured article, 4 places to throw a frog,
exclusive decals, zombie bass,
and how-to videos for all the great baits I receive. How to tune a crankbait. Is that underwater footage I smell?
I got goosebumps.
So if you're looking to develop enhanced fishing abilities like me, or you just like getting new tackle every month, go to MysteryTackleBox.com and get your box today.
Live minnows. Is it lunchtime already? Nature's candy.
Oh. Is he in my pocket?
This time of year, I definitely recommend putting a little bit of this on your soft plastics, too. There he is. Another one. Next cast. And that would be number 6. I'm addicted. I'll admit it. I'm straight addicted.
This might be bigger.
You think so?
Yeah. Feels big. I haven't even seen this thing yet. It doesn't want to come up. Don't break me off the rocks.
Oh, it's a... Oh! Oh!
27 inch.
He caught it. 28. Oh my god, that's such a healthy fish. Look at the size. Look!
Put a little liquid mayhem on your crappy jig.
and look where the stripers get it.
You can't even see it, man.
That might be a keeper.